910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The latest inflation indicator released by the Labor Department showing consumer prices ticked up slightly last month compared to a year ago, sending stocks soaring. ABC's Jim Ryan says the numbers for November are in line with analyst expectations.
Last month's year-over-year increase in prices for all items came in at 2.7% compared to 2.6% in October. Rising inflation would normally have the Federal Reserve considering a boost in interest rates. But when Fed officials meet next week, they're expected to lower a key rate by 0.25%.
The attorney representing Luigi Mangione says his client plans to plead not guilty to the murder of United Healthcare CEO last week in New York City. The 26-year-old being held in Pennsylvania prison on a gun charge while he fights extradition to New York. In Southern California, 20,000 people now have been evacuated as crews in Malibu try to get the upper hand on a wildfire. Santa Ana winds should ease tonight. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin prosecutors have filed additional charges against two lawyers and an aide to President-elect Donald Trump for their role in the fake elector scheme following the 2020 election. Kenneth Chesborough, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are each facing 10 more felony charges in addition to the single forgery charges filed in June. The new charges accuse them of forgery in an attempt to defraud. The three are scheduled to make their first court appearances on the original charges this week. Each of the charges carries a maximum of 6 years in prison. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking for public input on a proposed deer management unit rule. The draft rule would allow the Department of Natural Resources to return to habitat-based deer management units in the Northern Forest Zone and parts of the Central Forest Zone. The public comment period on the proposal will be open until January 10th, and DNR officials will host a virtual public meeting on the draft rule on January 8th. Public comments can be mailed to the DNR office in Madison or submitted online. City of Duluth union workers have voted to authorize a strike if they can't come to an agreement on a new labor contract with the city. On Tuesday, union workers rejected a settlement offer from the city, calling it insulting and unacceptable and demanding fair wages and dignity. City officials say they're still working to schedule another mediation effort with the union through the State Bureau of Mediation Services. If a deal is not reached, Duluth city workers could walk off the job in mid-January after a few days of a cooling-off period. A Rice Lake man accused of burglary at a closed sand plant near Chetek has entered a guilty plea. On Monday, 28-year-old Draven Mers pled guilty to felony burglary relating to the September 2023 theft. According to court documents, Mers and 35-year-old Lee Lefevers broke into the facility to steal wires and electrical components. Lefevers pled guilty on burglary charges earlier this year. Mers was charged with criminal damage to property, but that charge was dismissed as part of the plea deal. He's scheduled to be sentenced in February. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks are headed to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Magic 114-109 to return to the NBA Cup semifinals in Las Vegas. Giannis led with 37 points in a game that went back and forth with the Magic. Doc Rivers.
Listen, I thought both teams, you know, we're known now over the last 12 games as a defensive team. And yet at halftime, we were shooting 58% and they were shooting 57%. And I told our guys, I said, the first team that plays defense goes to Vegas. Bottom line.
College basketball. The Badgers lost last night on the road to Illinois. The final 86-80. Number 20th ranked Wisconsin has suddenly lost their last three in a row. At the baseball meetings in Dallas, Brewers GM Matt Arnold named Executive of the Year. And he gave credit to the Brewers National League Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, it starts with Pat. I think it starts with our ownership group, all the coaches around. I mean, our players, certainly. I mean, our front office guys. I'm surrounded by incredible people. And really, when you get these kind of awards, it really is a team award.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Blustery and becoming cold. With crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers, accumulations should stay under an inch. But winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Mattner on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, December 11th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day!
Wow. The camel got, well, you know, it is grown up giveaway text to win contest. And, you know, I did not know this. I watched over the weekend, Zommers, and I found this, the adult adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. And the little girl at the end says, every time Santa's whip cracks, an angel gets his wings, which I didn't know that until I watched the adult version. Have you seen that, Pat Carlin?
I'm just letting you hang on that one, all on your own, Pally.
Well, anyway, it ties in because in hour two we're going to play some growing up gift list text to win contest trivia. It's not trivia; I just call it that. And I believe today in hour two, we are giving away. And Trivi Olson, a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us from D.C. right now as well. He'll appreciate this. Today, we're giving away an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And I know how much Trivi enjoys Chula Vista. Also joining us on the program, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 on Lake Wissota, Patrick Harris.
A little chagrined, but I'm fine. I'll try to provide the PG version of today's show for you.
Yes.
But continue with your adult Christmas gift list.
Well, no, it's just
Pat. There is. Can I?
Sure.
Can I just mention to Pat there was big news out of Chippewa Falls the other day? The Chippewa Falls hockey team lost to the River Falls hockey team for the first time in 12 years. Pat.
12 wow. years.
Yep.
Wow, 12.
River Falls finally beat them.
That is some dominance over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, till now. Dominance.
Yes.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you both on once again. Pat, what's popping, as they say, up at Chippewa Falls?
Well, thankfully, not my tires. I had them all replaced today at my local farm and fleet, so I appreciate that. It was time for that to happen. Just in time, of course, for the snow to come falling down and make me glad I'm not running on threadbare treads. But
always good.
Nope. Beyond that, the sun has finally come out for at least a little while, which is also a sign that with the clouds breaking, temperature is about to drop like a rock over here.
Yes.
So welcome to winter, everybody.
Absolutely. Coming up also in hour number two, as we said, our text to win contest, also what's worse. And at 1:30, Chad Holmes, our great host and anchor up there at WXCO in Wausau, will join us. Big local issue going on up there. The Wausau School Board met on Monday. They're facing a situation where they may, keyword may, have to look at closing 4 elementary schools in the Wausau School District. So Chad will be in. He has the details on that. We'll talk about that in hour number two as well. But Trigvi Olsen, we are getting set to hop on a jet plane. We're going to meet each other on Friday out in beautiful Seattle as we help cover the Seattle Seahawks and Packers game. Are your bags packed, Trigvi?
No, they're not even close.
Where's,
I'm washing
my
clothes.
Invitation?
Patrick, you're welcome to come. Come on along.
Looking, I did,
it just kind of happened this way. Todd was going
Mike
out there.
Mike Tirico did not reach
out
to me. I've not heard from anybody at NBC Sports about this. Yeah.
Well, my youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because I'm not. There's no hotel costs. I crash on people's couches. Right.
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing.
You are
thrifty, my friend.
When
everybody goes, are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes. Yes, he is. He's got the chops, the fiscal responsible chops to prove it. Good for you.
Well, and Trigvi, of course, and I think this is lovely, one of the things that he does with his two daughters is their goal is to eventually go and see the Packers in all of the NFL stadiums. So it's time to cross Seattle off of the the link.
They,
so his daughters
won't live in Lambo anymore, then yeah, I can see why you'd have to do that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You haven't seen the inside of that little Lambo jail that they have in there, have you, by chance?
They have one?
That's the rumor.
That
yeah,
really? That.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of places where you can get
there's
the latest
courthouse in Philly.
I believe that, but yeah, you can always get the latest police radio reports as they take care of drunk and disorderly fans at Lambeau. Makes for good reading.
Oh, that's bad. I didn't see now. There, that would we should do a segment. Wouldn't that be great? Because like in all the small town newspapers, people buy the paper simply to go to the police blotter to find out which of your neighbors has been arrested. That's what they're really looking for.
I think that out there at WGBW, there's a little program featuring a former mayor of Green Bay. He could spill all the beans on this.
Spill the tea. Knowing the mayor, do the police blotter.
Got to look into that.
I think that's spectacular. So, Trigvi, are the girls excited to be joining us out there in Seattle on Friday?
Yeah, they're excited to come on the show and talk Packer football with you, Todd.
All right. Well, I think that's fantastic. I'm looking forward
and
to it.
We're going
to
see a bunch of sights. We're seeing a bunch of friends. I the best part of this is that, you know, isn't so much the football. It's that they're getting to go see museums and learn about all these great American cities. And
right.
Will they have an appreciation of how big and diverse the country is?
Will they throw the fish or will they catch the fish at the Pike Place fish market out there?
That's a cool place.
Been my up there? Kaya, who's turning 13 tomorrow, will be throwing fish at her sister, would be my guess. But
put down that mackerel.
Is Kaya's birthday tomorrow? Happy birthday, Kaya.
It is. Kaya's 13 tomorrow.
Wow.
Thoughts and prayers to you. You were a smart and capable father for 13 good years, and starting tomorrow, you're going to be an idiot for the next 5 to 10. So
thanks.
Hang in there, my friend. Oh, the teen years. Oh,
right. It gets better, though, right?
Yes, yes. Sometime around age 21, 22, they kind of give you, when they start going through life, they give you this sheepish little, you were right, Dad, you know, about something from the past. And that's that kind of vindication you can't buy on a store shelf. It just feels good when it finally happens.
Yeah.
But so between now and then, if they don't make you crazy, it'll all be worth it.
There you go. Matt Middleton texted in with a more serious question. We'll address that with Trigvi, maybe an international news question after the bottom of the hour. Guys, I wanted to start and get both your takes on this because, of course, Pat lives up there in Chippewa Valley, north of Highway 29. Trigvi grew up in that region as well. And one of the things for the show, our show, moving forward in 2025, I want to do a better job of bringing our listeners. I know, Pat, you do this at Courier News Service and Up North News Radio, but things going on in the state and country that really affect our local communities. And one of the places where we've done the show from is Hayward, Wisconsin, WBZH up there, beautiful Hayward, home of the Birkenbeiner and all kinds of great things up there. And one of the things that is not being talked about, and there's a great story today in Mother Jones, and our media guy, Tony Zimmerman, brought this to my attention. I don't want to go a deep dive. I'm going to do something I don't do very often, which is read 3 or 4 sentences here, and I want your take on this. The story is entitled, It's a Crisis. Federal Cuts Threaten Services for Child Abuse Survivors. A bipartisan bill in Congress could help, but lawmakers have been slow to act. Starts out, when children in rural Hayward, Wisconsin suffered abuse, the small community of 2,500 people was ready with an important resource, a child advocacy center with a team of experts prepared to guide them through the trauma. For nearly 8 years, the Marshfield Child Advocacy Center Satellite Clinic was the only place in more than 100-mile radius where law enforcement officers, prosecutors, medical professionals, and child protective service workers joined forces to support the child's well-being and pursue a criminal case against the abuser. Moving down, there were critical services for kids who may have otherwise ended up answering questions in a police interrogation room or not reporting at all. But in October, the Hayward Satellite Office was forced to close its doors. It was more than one of 960 child advocacy centers nationwide that have become essential for communities and law enforcement, and they rely heavily on support to serve kids and families. Under the federal funds accounted for, an average of 35% of centers' budgets nationwide, according to the National Children's Alliance. So here's the kicker, moving down. The fund was created in 1984 called the Victims of Crime Act, VOCA, which redirects financial penalties levied in a corporate criminal case to a domestic violent shelter, so on and so forth. The final straw at the Hayward facility came this year when it saw an 80% cut to its federal funding. Now, here's the good news. There's a bipartisan bill introduced in both chambers of Congress this year, which would divert additional funds collected through the False Claims Act, which penalized defrauding the government. And while the House version of the bill introduced by Missouri Republican Representative Ann Warner, or Wagner rather, now has nearly 200 bipartisan co-sponsors, it hasn't yet gotten a needed committee hearing, and neither House Speaker Mike Johnson nor Jim Jordan would comment. Wisconsin Republican Representative Tom Tiffany, whose district includes both Hayward and Marshfield, has not signed on to support the bill. His office did not respond for a request to comment to Mother Jones. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, supports the bill and is waiting to be added as a co-sponsor. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson did not respond for comment and is not a co-sponsor. That's a lot of reading, guys. I apologize, but I wanted to set it up for the audience. Pat, you live closest to that. Give us your take.
One of the sentences that really stuck out for me, after you mentioned that the money comes from the 1984 Victims of Crime Act, this was a signature law from President Ronald Reagan going through Congress, and it was going to redirect the financial penalties from corporate criminal cases. But here's one other sentence from that article. As prosecutions have declined, the government's payout from that fund has been plummeting for years. That's an indictment right there that we are not prosecuting corporate crime the way that we should. And by the way you get back to that is through something called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which Tom Tiffany and Donald Trump and so many other people have been trying to kill for years. They're now literally putting corporate crime, corporate interests ahead of abused children. If Tom Tiffany has a soul, he will be on that bill, you know, by the end of the week and moving this thing along rather than having a necessary service like that close on his watch.
Trigby, 30 seconds left. We'll pick up after the break. But again, as we look at what happened in this election, I think we need to start talking about issues that affect our local communities like Hayward and Marshfield and why Republicans, MAGA Republicans, are not helping out Wisconsinites.
Well, I think we have to have honest conversations about the consequences of actions. Period.
Right. We'll come back and talk more about consequences of actions with Pat Quitelow, Trigby Olson. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. It's a hump day edition, Wednesday edition of the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The days are getting shorter as we head to the 21st of December. The daily light is coming later. But when you get up and grab a cup of coffee, turn it on to Civic Media and Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, because that man is up like sunshine at 6 a.m. across Lake Wissota. The steam coming up from the lake as the crystals form along the shore. When will Lake Wissota be frozen?
I like this way better than my line, which is just, you know, at my age, you got to get up that early to pee anyway, so I may as well get paid for it. Yours sounds much, much friendlier. I like it.
All right, thank you. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio 6 to 8, joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota, and Trigvi Olsen, former Republican like myself and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital. Guys, before we took the break there, discussing, and it's a long article. I encourage people to look at it on motherjones.com. Called It's a Crisis, Federal Cuts Threaten Services for Child Abuse Survivors by Julian McShane. Julian McShane came out yesterday. And talking about this cuts in federal dollars, and it's affecting the clinics in Marshfield, or the Marshfield Clinic in Hayward, the only center for a 100-mile radius for these kids who have been abused to sit down and have counseling, be able to talk about this with a law enforcement officer or a psychologist, get treatment, and they're having to close. And Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman that represents both Hayward and Marshfield, has yet to sign on to this bill to increase funding to help centers like this to stay open or to not close. Tammy Baldwin has signed on, but Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson, Republican in the Senate, have not. Trigvi, you said before the break, actions have consequences.
Yeah, I mean, as we grapple with what's happened in the elections, one of the things that we really as a society need to be better at is recognizing that both the individual choices we make end up creating the collective sum of our pieces. And each of us needs to be thinking about whether it's political choices we make or just our response to what's happening in the world or in our communities. We need to really think through our choices and how they fit with who we and how we see ourselves rather than just within a political vein. And, you know, things like this are a question of priorities and choices and where do you fall at the end of the day.
It seems like to me that people make these choices in elections and you vote for guys like Tom Tiffany or Derek Van Orten. And the result is, the consequence is, you're electing people that is not in your own self-interest. And I think the more that we can do that, I can do that. Let me put the finger at myself. The more that I can do that with facts like this and less hyperbole and finger pointing, I think the greater chance we have to have a real conversation with our friends and neighbors, Pat, and maybe have people think a little bit more next time they go to the voting booth.
This is really just George Washington screaming from the great beyond, "I told you so," when he was warning against, you know, establishing a two-party system. Because when you look at public opinion and when you look at certain referendum elections, it is clear that people's values are much more in line with progressives and Democrats. You see it in surveys that say, you know, the federal government should play a role in keeping health care affordable. You see it in public opinion polls on things like gun safety and abortion rights. You see it in statewide referendums on things like abortion rights and Medicaid expansion and the minimum wage. But so long as we continue to have more of a two-party sporting event, who's got the best talking points or the best fear tactics, then it's always going to be easier for people to root for a team and say, you know, well, be cynical and say, oh, nothing gets done anyway. You've got your values. How do we help you understand better who actually espouses those values? It's not Tom Tiffany for Northern Wisconsin. He'd turn that place into a, you know, there'd be mines from coast to coast, border to border on there if it were. You know, damn the quality of the water and the air up there and whatever he can do to expand industry and strip malls up there. And he's not going to sign on to this bill to keep a child abuse clinic operating. Ron Johnson's never going to return that call because it spends a dime of money that otherwise would go to tax breaks for the very wealthy. If we can get more people to start seeing these folks as individuals with poor values, then we'll get better representation, but not till then.
Trigvy?
Well, I think, you know, I say this a lot. Democrats focus on putting out policies to individuals. Republicans focus on narratives. I think beyond that, I think Pat's onto something, that the two parties have both gotten to a place where each side demagogues the other in ways that leave most people in the middle who really focus on common sense, sort of scratching their heads and ultimately having to make a choice. And in a lot of, you know, we see this swinging back and forth. But, Democratic soul searching and progressive soul searching needs to start with, you know, after they lost in 2004, the most popular book on the left was What's the Matter with Kansas, which was basically like asking, why are these people such rubes that they don't support us? The reality is there is lots of common ground to be found that isn't in the extremes, and it's where the center is. But we both, you know, people of common sense need to be messaging that better to voters, whether they come more from the right or from the left.
Pat, which is too bad because most of the money is on the extremes
right, for
communicating to
right.
voters.
As the Democrat here, Pat, let me give you a chance because I'm truly curious about what frustrates me. Is that now one of the issues? Governor Evers says, oh, I'm going to veto the whole budget if the Republicans force state workers back to their offices instead of working from home. And now he's walked part of that back. And I think that people that deal directly with the public should be in an office. But if you're a number cruncher and you're doing state analysis, fine, work from home. I find out today through a source that Bob Lang, who everybody knows and loves and trusts, who is revered in the state building, that basically that's the facts that Lang has, that that's what's happening now. But instead of Democrats truly dealing in facts, it becomes some big standoff of, well, we don't think people should have to, you know, come into the state office building. And I'm telling you, people that make less than $50,000 a year have no sympathy for working from home. They just don't. It's a terrible message.
It may be a terrible message, but again, it's easy to demagogue. And I'd rather see this on a case-by-case, job-by-job basis.
Fair enough. Pat Kreitlow, every morning, 6 to 8. I appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Trigvy Olsen. I'll get the names right. He's coming back. We'll discuss more things, international news, and also some Packers. Stay with us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Coffee prices are seeing record highs. Not something I want to hear as I work on my third cup of the day. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Wednesday. Market advisor John Heinberg says coffee prices are catching attention after blowing past highs not seen since the Carter administration. He has the details on the weather disruptions that have hindered coffee farmers.
Prices have jumped about 80% this year in terms of in value. And we're looking at the two major producers, which is Brazil and Vietnam, have been dealing with a lot of weather issues. Obviously, Brazil was a heavy dry early at the coffee plant. It takes time to produce that bean. You know, those supplies are cut there. We're dealing with a heavy wetness in the Vietnam area, so that's causing some issues there. Plus, just add to it, the popularity of coffee continues to grow. In terms of a drink that's being enjoyed by a lot of people. So that might be something we have to see down the road.
Tight supply of coffee beans as the demand continues to rise. John Heinberg joining us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around. We'll take a look at the midday prices for the commodities grown here in Wisconsin.
Giving back. It's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Bianchi across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Grain prices are moving upward midday on a Wednesday. From Chicago, cash corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.50 and a quarter. December 2025, new crop corn is up 2 and a quarter cents at $4.44 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up 4.5 cents at $9.99 and a quarter. And November 2025, new crop soybeans are moving up 4 and a quarter cents, trading at $10.14 a bushel. Cash wheat is at $5.67 a bushel, up a nickel and a quarter. And new crop wheat is up 6 cents at $5.83 a bushel. Class 3 milk prices are moving in the opposite direction. The January contract is down 6 cents at $19.19 a hundredweight, and the February Class 3 milk contract is 4 cents lower, trading at $19.24 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers. Accumulations should stay under an inch, but winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinere is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Master Discombobulator Dan Schaefer and Northeast Wisconsin actor Kurt Krause drops by the studio to discuss independent film. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Go, you Packers, go, go. Go, you Packers, go, go. This year, yeah, they're on a roll.
Oh, let's listen to this.
Caught, Keith Jackson.
Fantastic. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now, past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, December 11th. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a Wisconsin boy like myself, former Republican like myself, unlike myself, a Green Bay Packer owner. And while I am getting ready to sit in the middle seat of coach class, Trigvi will be sipping wine in first class on the way out to Seattle. He flies nice.
I fly a lot.
Yes, that's why you earn those miles.
Those are hard earned. And as I told my daughter, you know, once they from a very young age, because of my status, millions of miles and whatnot, we get upgraded, right? And I happen to have to take a flight to Delta rather than United. All my miles are in United.
Right.
And I think Ula was maybe 5 or 6 and had always sat in business class, and we're walking on the Delta flight and she's like, "Dad, I want to sit in the big seats. Why are we sitting back here?" Oh my God, did I chew her out. I mean, she might have only been 5 years old, but she got it from me about, like,
you explained that was a privilege that not afforded to
that
many.
Mom and dad, by flying all over God's green earth, like, earned them. I did. Honestly, a lot of times I don't upgrade. I did upgrade us for this just because it's
a long trip, all the way across the country.
And I want to try. It's easier for me to get work done.
Of course.
And Kaya's got to make a painting for a contest. So she announced to me today that she's going to be doing watercolors as we fly, which I'm not quite sure. She's done a very good job of time management, that she's entering this big national art contest and she's painting it with watercolors on a plane.
But you know, she'll be the star of the flight. The flight attendants will love that.
Flight attendants always love Kaya. I'm excited. You know, they're excited to come on and talk to you, Todd, because of course you've gotten to know them. And I think they're more excited about going on the radio and talking with you than seeing you than they are about going with Dad to the Packer game.
Well, tell Ula that
it's also going to be raining, Todd. Going to Packer games with you ensures that we freeze our
posteriors
butts off and stand it's around in the rain.
47 though. I checked the weather. 47, and I think there's like a 60% chance of rain for the game.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad. But Friday, it's like a 90% chance of rain and like 45. Seattle.
You know what I want to do though?
What?
Maybe we could do it after the show. I've never gone on one of the ferries out into the Puget Sound.
Oh, it's great.
So that's what we were thinking about going and doing.
We could hop a ferry and go over to Bremerton, where my godson lives, and we could check out around the naval shipyard there, the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have to be back to see some friends for dinner, but
That's super cool. Sure. Yeah. Wes in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says today, says Toddy, I'm also heading out to Seattle to the game. I got upgraded to first class as well. I'll wave at you from the front as we leave Madison. Well, thanks, Wes. If you're on a Delta flight around 11 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be on it. Going to hear
it's good to know that we have some others of those people that are on there. I am an elitist flyer. I'm very not elitist on many things.
No,
I am an elitist when it comes to my flying.
I know you are.
I hate to say it. 2 million miles on United. I put up with a lot of garbage.
But you deserve it. You deserve it. So Wes,
you got me venting. Do you remember? You got me venting one night from Chicago, Todd. I called you from a lounge at Todd got the full Trigvi when travel was going good.
He was not happy at all. No. We could not have.
And been. I am genuinely, I think, a good natured person.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot to get you riled up.
More than most people, but yeah.
Well, Wes, let us know. We'll announce where we're going to be from. We're at, and you can stop by and say hi if you want. Wes and Middleton, safe travels out there. That'd be great. And again, Trigvi and I will do the show live from Seattle on Friday, I've checked in with our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. He's going to come on in the 1 o'clock hour, right after he gets out of the Matt LaFleur press conference. So he'll have the latest information on Friday with us in the 1 o'clock hour, Mike Clemens. Looking forward to that.
Was Mike able to find out when they fly out, like what the details are?
Don't know that. Yeah, don't know that off the top of my head. We can check. So it should be, and also I believe that Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to be joining us via phone on Friday.
Well, she's a Packer fan.
I know. That's why she agreed to come on. So Dr. Lyerly
will
be talking.
She has to live with those purple. Sometimes interact with those purple people.
So Dr. Lyerly will
I don't like those people much.
Dr. Lyerly will give us a prescription for a win on Friday's show as well and more surprises. So join us on Friday. And then we're staying out there on Monday to do the show out there on Monday from Bremerton. And Tuesday, Trigvy will be right here in the guest host chair. I may be back for the second hour, depending upon how my flight goes. So Trigvy, we appreciate you filling
and
in.
And I may be in studio. It's possible. It's still up in the air.
We're looking forward to that. All right.
We'll see.
20 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Trivia got a text in earlier and want to get to it because you are a guy who has gone all over the world and taken on dictators and the like. You know a lot about this. A serious question from Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX off the text line. Todd and Trigvy, with the investigations and exposure of the Assad regime's cruelty in Syria, will this reveal Tulsi Gabbard's questionable positions? Thank you. Appreciate the question there, Matt in Middleton. For those that don't know, Trigvy, the quick primer on this. Tulsi Gabbard, of course, former so-called Democrat, now Republican from Hawaii, who has been all in on MAGA. And there's reports are that there is a lot of intel on her that she has been complicit with Putin in Russia and Assad in Syria. And now that Assad has been overthrown, the feeling is that there might be documentation there that reveals some of this. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't have any insight into that. I mean, there is a real history of Tulsi Gabbard's parroting Russian, Syrian talking points, mm-hmm. Which is troubling, right? Yeah. And mirroring these things, particularly for a position like that at DNI. I would say that for people who are watching that in the news, the Assad regime, going back to his father, has been one of the most brutal in the Middle East. And in fact, I can't remember the name of the incident. I mean, murdered hundreds of thousands of their own citizens, really bad people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought he was going to be a reformer. He's actually an ophthalmologist, married a British woman, and there was hope. He ended up being as brutal or worse than his father. It's a big deal that Assad has gone down. Now, it remains to be seen what the law of unintended consequences says. The guy who's the leader of the rebel group that has overtaken things, you know, there's a $10 million reward from his past life in Al-Qaeda. He's saying the right things. It's hard to know where this is going to go. I think it took people really by surprise. Mm-hmm. It is a blow to Putin and the Russians, certainly. It's a blow to the Iranians. But we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll just have to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But generally a good thing that people like Assad in power, bad.
And I also think we talked about this when this happened earlier in the week, that I think situations like this just remind us why it's important to have serious and experienced people in the federal government in places of power, whether it's the CIA, whether it's Department of Defense, whether it's the UN ambassador, so on and so
forth.
Yes, Department of State as well. Update us your thoughts, Trigvy. You talked to us a little bit about this, saying, you know, look, don't get too carried away or distracted by some of these appointments that you might not agree with. Focused on other things that are more important, the policy things that the Trump administration, incoming Trump administration, may or may not be doing. Just looking at what's happened in Washington this week, of course, Trump went on Meet the Press, talked about saying that he was open to deporting American citizens, i.e. kids that were born here. And according to the Constitution, 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship, if a person is born here, you're an American citizen. End of story, period. Now Trump is saying if those kids have parents who are undocumented, that, and he uses the auspices of, well, we want to keep them together, quote unquote, that deporting American citizens and having no regard or little regard for the actual U.S. Constitution. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, it seems unlikely that the president can arbitrarily overturn constitutional amendments. Now, he might try, and it will end up in the courts. And, you know, it's a slippery slope. I think my personal opinion is that really the immigration system, and Donald Trump owns part of this because, and as do many others, but mm-hmm. I think it's more owned on the right. There have been serious efforts to try and address it in a bipartisan way. Yes. James Lankford, conservative, they had a compromise. Trump basically killed it in the House because he wanted the issue to be able to demagogue it. I don't know what will actually happen. I mean, I think with a lot of these things, with where Trump is going, you know, we just kind of have to wait and see. There are some really unserious people that he appears to have nominated for serious positions. There are other people where the left is taking the bait on the shiny object and seems to be against everybody. You know, Marco Rubio is certainly somebody whose resume is qualified to be Secretary of State. Yeah. Elise Stefanik, you know, you can disagree with how they've handled the Trump administration. Sean Duffy as DOT, you know, you might dislike Sean, but the reality is certainly has a resume that fits for being that. He's as qualified as Ray LaHood was, right?
Right.
You know, I just think there's going to have to be a picking of battles here. And that's what's really important in this. And we'll see. Do right. Senate Republicans, you know, hold the line? And
really, really, really
past quick. Is not a, you know, past is an indicator that that may not happen. But the past isn't necessarily an indicator of future returns either.
I want to get to L.A. Tom in just a second. But really quickly, to your point earlier, we talked about this. Greg Sargent reminded us in 2017 that Democrats offered then President Donald Trump $27-28 billion to go towards his wall at the border. But Stephen Miller, inside the Trump administration, now going to run immigration, apparently, in Trump 2.0. Stephen Miller convinced Trump to kill the deal because the compromise of Democrats said, we'll give you $28 billion for the wall if we legalize Dreamers. Trump was ready to do it. Stephen Miller killed it. So, again, there have been opportunities for Republicans to do something, as well as Democrats in the past. Let's be honest. I mean, Democrats controlled everything the first 2 years of Biden. They could have fixed this, and they didn't. And it's just been an unwillingness, you know this as well as I do, that to truly fix immigration and to staff it so that you expedite some of these applications, it's going to cost a lot of money. And neither side has been willing to be honest with the American taxpayers on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yes. And the reality is that it's, you know, the conversations are occurring in ways that aren't really, there are serious conversations that have gone on, like what Lankford and the Republicans and Democrats who came up with the compromise, those are serious conversations. And it was based on, I'm going to get some of what I want and you're going to get some of what you want. And we can all live with that.
Right.
Part of the bigger issue that we're facing, whether it's at the community level, the national level, the state level, is no one wants to take half a loaf. We become incredibly zero sum. For me to win, you have to lose. And there's plenty to be gained by people finding common ground. I mean,
right. No, I totally agree. I'm going to come back and take LA Tom's call. We're up against the clock, LA Tom's. I don't want to get you on and have to put you on hold. So if you can hold for the break, we're going to do that. Very quickly off the text line, Steve in Milwaukee saying, Trigvy is too wishy-washy. Stand for the people, man. Well, I like Trigvy. I mean, right? I mean, but Steve, you bring up an important point, Steve, and that is that I think that both sides have gotten, it's either all or nothing. And Trigvy and I came up when, to govern, it was something called pragmatism, Trigvy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just,
yeah, I mean,
nobody gets everything.
No, I mean, the genius of the founding fathers is they wrap the zero sum of who holds power in the win-win of democracy.
Come on back. Your phone calls, L.A. Tom, Trigvy Olson, and more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What can you say about Brett Favre? He's the MVP in the league, and this is a great team.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2. Trivia, you got to do this next week when you're filling in. I might be back in time. But we're right in the middle of the Civic Media's Growing Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. Coming up in hour... Yes, it's growing up. Coming up in hour 2, your chance to win. And today, this coming hour at 1 o'clock, your chance to win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Cannot wait. You have to download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store. It's free. Takes less than a minute. Download it to your Apple or Android device, and we'll tell you in hour 2 how you can win. Somebody next hour is going to win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody gets entered in for one of 8 grand prizes, including a robot vacuum, which Trigby knows all about, a humidifier, an espresso machine, a snowblower, or a luggage set. More on that later. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom is on the line from beautiful Los Angeles, California. Tom, thanks for joining us. What say you?
I'm guessing that is just an in-state deal, right?
I think anybody can win. I think you could text in, Tom. There are no barriers. Okay. There are no borders here. We're an open border contest. Although it's a statewide contest, anybody can enter.
Oh God, don't say that. The Republicans will actually start repeating that. No open borders.
You want to go robotic on your floors, huh, Tom?
I know, right? Exactly. No, I want the trip to Chula Vista. That sounds good,
right?
No, the question I have is this, because you guys are both, you know, sensible. Past Republicans, and I just don't understand what it would be that in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's policy, what it is that you guys would actually object to. Because like we talked about before, Todd, we talked about how back in the day it was $3 million or more would be taxed at 90%, but then you'd invest a lot more money in your business or whatever it might be. And today it might be 30 million or
correct.
You know, if we adjusted it or whatever.
Right.
So I'm just trying to figure out what it is, because to me, FDR didn't believe in people living off the system. FDR believed in people going out and filling potholes. As the government being the We the People government being the employee of last resort. All of the policies that I see and I've this weekend, I just listened to his different speeches. And I'm just like, this guy talked about all Americans. He really did put it the corporations against the American people in terms of, doing that dichotomy there. Mm. And it was needed back then because it was a 25%, right where we're at right now, basically 100 years, later.
Right.
And I'm just trying to figure out, because I know when, Reagan came in, and I know you guys are both Reagan buffs, that, that's when the tax rate got lowered to, 37% from even Eisenhower. And I'm just trying to figure out how you guys feel if someone came on the scene that was a, FDR Democrat in terms of, the same policies or, yep. Increasing
similar policies,
things like, yep. Free college education or whatever it might be, how you guys would feel about that? Because I honestly believe government is good, and I believe mm-hmm. we the people are the government. And I do believe, though, when you talk about bipartisan and you talk about compromise these days, it sometimes means that both parties are bought off by the same donors.
Sure. In some cases.
Money and politics.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much. Trigvy?
Well, I would say that both parties are bought off by the same kind of class of donors, i.e. the billionaire set to a degree. Mm. I think to Tom's question about FDR, and I'm trying to find the book, I think it's called Traitor to His Class. I read a great, audiobook, because I only do audiobooks, a great biography of FDR. I was kind of going through this period where I was trying to listen to audio books on all the presidents. I think if you look at the Great Society programs and what FDR was doing, and then you take it to the next step, which Lyndon Johnson was the extension really of that. Like anything else, it's laws of unintended consequences. So when Tommy Thompson was working on welfare reform, right? Welfare in the state of Wisconsin really had gotten to the place where it wasn't serving the people it was intended to serve, and it wasn't serving the state either. And so the idea was, how do we come up with something that works? And it was, okay, we're going to give people more benefits. We're going to give them childcare. We're going to give them a hand up, not a hand out, right? So I think a central piece of the problem that we have is two things. One, on the left, there's a tendency not to want to acknowledge anything that the federal government, for example, and it's why I have no problem with the idea that you're going to have people looking at federal government spending, as long as it's done within the vein of the Constitution, and ultimately it's the Congress that initiates cuts. That they look at where are things that money's being spent that we can't afford to spend, mm-hmm. right? At the same time, though, I would say on the right with taxes, you have this notion, that Reagan cut taxes, supposedly that grows revenue, the Lafler curve. But anybody who studied economics, and part of the reason I studied economics at Eau Claire was because I was fascinated in sort of that macroeconomics. If you look at the Lafler curve, there's a law of diminishing returns. And the law of unintended consequences on the right is we should just cut taxes till there's zero. You're going to have no revenue.
45 right? seconds.
So at the end of the day, I think both sides have kind of reached this point where, again, it gets back to there are people who want to have serious discussions to try and solve some of these problems. Social Security is going to be mm-hmm. bankrupt in 2037. We have to have a solution to that.
Right.
Needs to be a solution. It's unfair that people like us paid in for all these years and aren't going to get anything.
Right. Trevi Olson, Lincoln right. Project, appreciate my friend. We'll see you in Seattle on Friday. For my two cents, I see if Steve Gunderson put it best. Government should help get everyone to a starting line. But then it's up to people to kind of, it should be an equalizer, not a lifeline. So that's where I'm at.
100%.
Appreciate you, Trevi. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next.
All right.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll have the latest on the April election for state school superintendent. The matchup isn't what a lot of folks would have expected.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a GOP House hearing today focusing on the U.S. chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan more than 3 years ago, Secretary of State Antony Blinken testifying and pushing back, saying the Biden administration inherited the deal made by the outgoing Trump administration with the Taliban to withdraw. Blinken now heading to Turkey later this week after Syrian rebels toppled the Assad regime. ABC's Britt Klinik says working to keep the region from spiraling further.
The emphasis will be on a stable transition to try and calm fears in the region of a power vacuum and the lawlessness that may ensue. We heard from Blinken's team from the State Department saying that they will head there to reiterate the United States' support for an inclusive Syrian government.
Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth still meeting with senators on Capitol Hill. His latest talks with Senator Susan Collins today as he tries to shore up support before his confirmation hearings. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.